Hey folks, Dan Ferriero here with your opening bell for June 23rd, 2025. So every time I go away, something happens and these things go crazy. Well, unfortunately, these things didn't go crazy, but the world is going crazy. Right now, we had the U.S. bomb Iranian military sites. Well, actually, their nuclear sites. They didn't go after any civilians or anything. That usually has a huge ramifications in the stock market and the bond market. So that's what we're going to talk about in today's video. So the reason why I do this, folks, is my name is Dan Ferriero. I do these videos twice a day to inform you guys what in the heck's going on with these things over here and the whys behind it. And the reason why I do that is I'm actually a federally licensed mortgage loan officer. I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico, and our slogan is one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan over 30 different lenders. Now, I'll give you all that information at the end of this video because you're here for these things here. So we had one Fed official coming out last week and over the weekend saying, I can see cuts in rates as early as July. So we're going to go over to the Fed watch tool to see where that's coming. But right now, the focal point right here is this. The U.S. struck Iranian nuclear sites, and they didn't go after civilians, is what we were told. It wasn't a declare of war. It was basically, we're going to take out your nuclear facilities because we keep telling you you can't have them. So that's what's going on right now. And usually what happens is you'll see a flee to safety. We have a young man coming on from CNBC kind of telling us that that's not the norm anymore. Because what happens normally is this. You have some catastrophic event like this. So what will happen is the stock market will plummet, and then people will move their money into safe havens. Safe havens are usually bonds. Well, that the tune's changing on that a little bit. So let's get over to CNBC. They're doing an interview with a young man right now this morning, and I wanted you to get his take on this. But then when you come back, we're going to go over the economic calendar because we still have a lot of data coming in to fill the void on what the Federal Reserve monitors, and we're getting the PCE inflation news this week as well as the second quarter GDP. So two big pieces of the puzzle are coming in there. We're also going to go over to the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange as well as the Iranian stock exchange to see how they're faring after the attack or the bombing of their nuclear facilities. So I've got to be careful on how I word those. So let's get over to this right here so you can understand how maybe times are changing a little bit when it comes to safe havens. And when you come back, we're going to see market reactions all the way across the board. And also, the Federal Reserve is expected now to maybe cut rates a little bit sooner than expected. So let's get over to this interview, and then when we come back, I'm going to go through a whole bunch of other things that you'll learn to figure out what in the heck's going on with mortgage rates this week, short term, and then long term. Take it away.
I was Jason Thomas, head of global research and investment strategy at Carlyle. Good morning to you. I think there was an expectation, or at least over the weekend, that things might be a little bit more jittery than they are. What's your take?
Well, we have tariffs, trade wars. We have a tax fiscal situation in the United States now, of course.
You have politics. It's like a laundry list of.
And I think what actually is hardest to understand is how these things interact. And so, you know, it's not terribly surprising that there's not strong conviction to sell. And I think that's really all we're seeing today. It's wanting to get more information. And I think not only hope for that the Iranian nuclear program is neutralized, but also perhaps some expectations that if things deteriorate, there will be some easing up of tariffs and tariff risk.
Are you in the camp, though, that there won't be any kind of real retaliation? Because I think that for the market to be where it is today, you have to believe that this was some kind of one-and-done situation.
I really don't know. Again, I think that it's the interaction of all of these uncertainties. And I think that there's this hoped for if things deteriorate and if the price of oil were to spike, that would be a time where you would not want to intensify the inflationary pressures with tariffs.
We're back to, you know, markets at 22 times earnings again, and it's up 25%. And
to me, the bigger concern is not the where the market is. It's that bonds no longer hedge stock market risk. They did. They worked very well for a long period of time. But that was a time when the Fed, other central banks, didn't have to worry about inflation. So, you know, if you go back to after the GFC, the Fed, anytime the economy hit a rough patch, anytime there was a sell-off in stocks, you could be sure that there'd be another round of QE with the express intent of driving down bond yields. So this, of course, gave rise to things like risk parity trades, you know, where you could offset, hedge your stock market risk with leverage positions in bonds.
So what's the new hedge?
And are you more worried about inflation than a growth slowdown?
Right now, what we see, I think that over the last few months, prior to the onset of tariffs, there was this sense that there was some sort of mechanism that automatically causes consumer prices to rise in proportion to tariffs. Of course, we found out that's not the case. You need management teams to actually increase prices. They've been reluctant to do that. Part of that, I think, is just they're worried about demand in their markets. The increasing prices, losing volumes, you're no better off. I think part of that is uncertainty. They think that, why do I want to have difficult conversations with my customers if I think in 2 months' time, these tariffs may not even be in place?
Did you watch Waller on Friday?
I think that...
Waller said even if, number one, the companies haven't done it for whatever reason. Number two, even if they do it, it's going to be a one-off. It's going to be...
The risk is the Fed, let's be honest, it's a very dovish institution. Right. It historically
has not been recently.
Well, but even yes, of course, there was some cleanup to do after 2022 and right. they were heroic during that time. But
they're still fighting the inflation battle that might not.
But look at last year. They cut by 100 basis points without any material deterioration in economic activity of the labor market. So they generally want to get ahead of any, again, problems in the economy. In this case, they can't do it because if you preemptively cut when you expect the price level to increase because of tariffs, you're risking second order effects. You're risking a relative price increase from tariffs actually broadening out. So I do think in this case, he thinks that those data will be evident by July. I think more likely September. But at some point, if they have to wait in this case to actually see genuine deterioration in the labor markets. And when they do, they'll act.
He said good cuts starting in July.
He did.
So one of the Fed officials came out Friday and said he's expecting rates cuts to come as well. Now, what I get along the bottom here are highlights or captions that just popped up that are relevant to real estate and mortgage rates. So here's what we got just now as well. Fed's Michelle Bauman, it's time to consider adjusting rate policy. So now a lot of Fed officials are starting to come out saying, well, maybe we will cut. So, May existing home sales, 0.8 versus minus 1.3. So let's get over to the rest of the economic news. So this is what you're seeing. So we explain here on the channel a lot of times saying, okay, normally what happens when things like this happen, and this young man said it as well, is people flee into bonds for safety. They're no longer doing that. So I wish he would have been able to answer the question that Becky asked him. So where are people putting their money? That's the dilemma right now, because people aren't there. If they want to pull their money out of stocks, or they're not going into crypto, they're not going into bonds, as he's just stated. So where's the money going? Is it sitting on the sideline? That's an interesting part that we want to focus in on. So let's get to the rest of the news that we have for today. The market's reactions to this is right through here. We got the bond market. MBS is up 19 ticks. What this means is mortgage rates are going to come down. So how you read this bond market right through here, when you usually get a bond market, like the 10-year treasury, you'll see here's what the 10-year treasury yield's doing. And if you look at it, it's 4.32, it's down 0.05, and so forth. But for some reason, they don't do that with mortgages. So they give us the price of the bond. So we have to decipher, well, the price is up 19. What does that mean? Well, if the price goes up on a bond, the yield, or the interest rate in this case, because it's a mortgage bond, is going to come down. Okay, so we like up. And let's go over and see what a two-day chart looks like. Fantastic chart on the two-day. Let's go to a five-day. Whoa, we got hit on the chin right through here, but it's been a rally once again. So we're going to stay on the sidelines with all our borrowers, just waiting. We're not looking to lock in right now because the chart or the range is our friend right now, if you look at it. So right through here, we have a nice rally. So unless this really turns, I won't be locking in any people, but I will be letting you guys know how that's going to go. So let's go over to the economic calendar we have for the week. So we had some manufacturing numbers come in today, and they were actually pretty darn good. We had manufacturing PMI. Last reading was 52. Is expected to come down to 51.1. Stayed at 52. Servicing PMI, 53.7 previously. Supposed to drop below 53. It stayed at 53.1. That's also great news. And then we had home sales a little bit higher than expected. So that's what we're seeing so far today. The rest of the week down through Thursday, here's what we're looking at, is we're going to look at the GDP. That's the GDP number coming up. And then the PCE, this is the inflation number that the Federal Reserve puts the most weight in. So these two numbers are actually going to fill in a gap right over through here. This is what the Federal Reserve monitors. They control the federal funds rate, which is right here, and they're expected to start cutting this thing, but we have PCE coming in as well as GDP. Let's get over to here. We'll see what they're expecting. So we're expecting the GDP to be at negative 2 and stay at negative 0.2. That's a head scratcher a little bit. And then they're expected the PCE inflation. This is the inflation number the Federal Reserve puts the most weight in. They're expecting year over year to, well, last reading was 2.5. They're not giving us, for some reason, an estimate there. And then the core was previously 0.1. This is month over month, expected to stay right at 0.1. So if all these numbers come in at point, we'll have a nice little week, but I don't think all these are going to come in completely on point. So Thursday and Friday, we're going to start filling in some voids. Now here's the head scratcher. We have bonds up 19 ticks, and we also have stock market up. So this is the connection, the disconnect between these. Also, now you might understand a little bit more why I follow oil. Oil is probably one of the biggest things that you can monitor when it comes to inflation. So if you go over to here, oil is at $73 a barrel. We need this 60. 62, 3, 4, that'll take out the inflation pressures of this. As long as it's above 70, if it gets to 80, 90, and 100, I don't know what the Fed's going to do. But we'll pay close attention to where oil prices are going as well. Let's look over to crypto. Crypto got some good news today in regards to some legislation and some other things. It's up, but this was 110,000 not too long ago across the board there. So here's what we're looking at. This is the what the Federal Reserve monitors, the rate that they control over through here. This is going to tell us at the next meeting and future meetings, what are they going to do? Well, now it's expected that they might start cutting rates. So if you go down through here, remember at the last slide we just saw, Federal Reserve, the federal funds rate is 4.25 to 4.5 that you're seeing right through here. So the July meeting, there's a 77% chance they're going to keep it there. Well, this last week was 89. So it went from an 89% chance to a 70-something. And now you're looking in the July, August, September meeting. Now that's when they're looking most likely to cut. So we'll stay attuned to this and see how that's, we'll monitor this. But you might not realize that Israel and Iran have a stock exchange and things like that. So what I follow, and you guys probably don't even know it, is I follow a lot of these things in the background. So the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange just hit another record high after the U.S. attack. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, huge uncertainty, but their stock market just keeps rallying. So what does that tell us? And even if you go over to the Iranian stock exchange, just the other day, it was up 25,000 points on Tuesday. On Sunday, it gave back 5,700 of that, but now it's closed, you know, because of all the conflicts going on right now. So that's what we're seeing right through there. But the Tel Aviv does have a stock exchange, and it lost 5,700 points on Sunday. You might say, wow, that's crazy. But if you really look at this, their stock exchange is in the millions. So even, you know, what you saw on, what was it, Sunday? Let's go back here. It was up 58,000 points on last Wednesday. So you can see it's not like our exchange. The numbers are much higher. So that's why it looks in, you know, much, much different there. So that's basically what we've seen over this. So now what's the expectations? We're going to monitor this closely because like the young man said, we have so much on the table right now. We have, what are they going to do with the big, beautiful tax bill? That's on the agenda right now as well. What are they going to do with Russia, Ukraine? Now we're involved with Iran and Israel. Don't forget the Middle East. But the biggest thing to watch here is there's a section over in the Middle East that all the boats or a lot of the shipping or oil tankers go through. What Iran's saying now is we're gonna control that little port and we're not gonna let any boats through. So that's what now is everybody saying, oh man, if they do that and we can't take care of it, you know, to have free shipping through that area, you might see oil prices rally $80, $90, $100 a barrel. That would be hugely inflationary and not good news for any of this stuff. So we'll continue to monitor that. But right now, so far, MBSs are up 19 ticks. That means mortgage rates are going to ease a little bit more today, and they've been easing over the last few days. So if you locked in, or if you're working with somebody that's like, okay, here's our rates, and you just want me to check it and see, can I get you a better rate possibly or lower fees? Let's get over to what I do and kind of actually what I do. So we have a slogan, one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan over 30 different lenders. Here's who I am, basically. I'm actually a federally licensed mortgage loan officer. I work at a federal bank, okay? So that means I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. The cool thing is we're also set up with 32 other lenders. Why would you do that? Well, it's to help you guys. Because if you're out there, you need the product. I need to make sure I got the product. But you're also looking for who's got the best rates, so your rate shop and your fee shop. Well, wonder if I can offer you up to 32, 33 different quotes. with one application. And that's what we do here. So think about it. I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico, and I'm set up with over 30 different lenders to help you guys manage this and get the best rate at the lowest fees. That's what we do. So if you're locked in, you want me to check to see what you have, if we could do better, reach out to me. Just ask Dan right through here at the top. But if you want to find out more about me and my team, how we might be able to help you if you're looking to buy or refinance, just go to theRateUpdate.com. You can give us a call right up through here. At the top of that, you can schedule a consultation with me or Alan right through here and here. And then we also have some videos down through here. We have a $7,000 grant, well, up to $7,000. So if you're looking to buy that first house or maybe even that second home, or you're a multiple home, I don't mean a second home, like in a destination like Florida. I just mean you sold your first house, now you're upgrading or downsizing. Check and see if this grant's available for you. It gives you up to $7,000 in basically free money. There's no paybacks, and it's forgiven to you. So check and see if you qualify for this program. And then we have a whole bunch of videos down through here to help you if you're looking to buy, you're looking to refinance, you even want to know FHA guidelines. Check it out right through here. So my name is Dan Freer. Like I said, I do this report twice a day to inform you guys what in the heck's going on with these over here and the whys behind it. Thanks for watching, guys. God bless. Have a fantastic day. And if you missed my birthday yesterday, you can still buy me a coffee down below where it says buy me a coffee. So just saying that. I turned 60 yesterday, and I want to just thank you for all your well wishes. Have a great day. See you back here at the closing bell. See you then. Bye-bye.